Welcome in, Chase Willie and D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin in the house. Willie is headed to Ireland. Derek, I don't know. He went to Europe, too. I mean, everybody's going to Europe. Whatever. But anyway, we got Big Joe Dubin.
Yeah, man, what's happening?
I'm excited. Now, is Willie on the ones and twos?
Is Willie going to find the leprechaun? Because, Willie, the leprechaun's in Scotland, buddy. You need to watch out there.
I don't know. I mean, he was eating Lucky Charms yesterday, so it could have been that.
And Derek Mason do whatever he wants, so that's good there.
Yeah, you play 15 years in the league at a high level.
Yeah,
you can kind of do whatever. So
absolutely. So I'm excited, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. He'll join us at noon for a couple of segments. 1 o'clock. Really looking forward to this because you may not realize, but a week from Friday, high school football is back. In the mid-state, we're going to talk to Coach Coleman from Summit High School.
Yeah, Brian Coleman down there. You know, they won the state title in 2020, moved up, lost to Oakland last year in the finals. But they got to replace two of the best high school football players who've ever been in Middle Tennessee, the Wade brothers. So it's always good to catch up with him. And so you're right, 9 days away, Jamborees Thursday and Friday night, and then the season kicks off next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, you and I have spent a lot of time on Friday nights together talking high school football over the years. So looking forward to having that conversation with him. But I want to get your thoughts on something yesterday that Tim Hasselbeck, who you know well, said.
Love him.
On our show. And, you know, basically everyone is obsessed with the Indianapolis Colts when it comes to the AFC South. I feel like people are doubting the Titans. They're, you know, Vegas is even doubting the Titans. They have the Colts listed as the favorite to win the division. The Titans have won the division the last 2 years. Since they've been in the NFL, they've never won three straight. In fact, this was the first time they'd gone back-to-back since their days in the AFL. So obviously a lot of history has been made, but I look at the Titans who have Derrick Henry coming back. Yes, there are questions of, okay, how's the foot? Is he going to be able to keep playing at the level that he was playing before the injury? Can Ryan Tannehill take a step forward after taking a step back? What does this receiver core look like? And everyone just goes, well, the Colts have Matt Ryan. Well, Matt Ryan, the last I checked, is like 65 years old. Right. So, I don't know exactly what that means.
Matt Ryan played at Boston College. Where did Tim Hasselbeck play?
That's true, Boston College. So good
buddies.
That could be it. But here was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on our show giving his pick for the AFC South.
Well, I told you guys, I guess it was a week or two ago, if I'm picking a division winner right now, I'm picking the Colts. And so I guess I would fall in line with what many of the people from a national perspective are saying, would say. And, my reason for it would be, there's certain factors that you just look into and you say, okay, like, do you like this? So, like, do you like their offensive line? Do you like their back? Do you like their defense? Do you like their coaching? And so, while I think you can say yes to all of those, questions when talking about the Titans, I think there's an element of, that you can say yes to all that stuff, when you're talking about the Colts. So, I think that's part of it. I get the sense that other people generally believe that the Titans really overachieved a year ago. I think the losses of, the loss of A.J. Brown and, what the replacement looks like, I think is a factor in this. And so I think those are all the issues that I feel like people nationally, are giving weight to.
That's Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on our show, joining us as he does every Tuesday at noon.
You know who loves this? You know who loves all this?
Mike Vrabel.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is what I said.
Absolutely, man.
Is it about the sports teams in this town? But I feel like the Predators are at their best when they fly under the radar and nobody gives them a chance. The Titans are at their best when they fly under the radar and nobody gives a chance.
Yeah.
Nashville SC has kind of been that the last couple of years as they've come in to the league.
All right, let me put it to you. What do you do when somebody tells you you can't do something?
I get really fired up and say, my phrase is, I'm not going to prove you wrong. I'm just going to prove me right.
Oh, that's a great one. So you look at that.
I've proven myself right over the last 10 years.
You stopped driving by Taco Bell on the way home.
I did.
I mean, you've made improvements in your life because they said you can't do that. So you look at Vrabel, they're like, all right, nobody thinks we can win, but we think we can win. He always talks about the locker room, you know, and you've been in locker rooms, I've been in locker rooms. It's always about the locker room and what happens inside that locker room. So he's loving this. And he looked from the outside perspective. If you say Adam Schefter, right, is looking at the Titans or one of those national guys, who stands out? They love the marquee names.
Yeah.
Give me four marquee names in the Titans besides Derrick Henry.
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons?
Maybe, yeah.
I think Jeffrey Simmons is getting noticed league-wide. I mean, I was listening to some other shows around the country, and there was one in particular that was doing their rankings of defensive linemen. They had Jeffrey Simmons number two.
Good. So give you two right there. So, A.J. Brown got traded out of there, and all you got is Derrick Henry. You saw what Ryan Tannehill did in the playoffs. And what's happened, what's going on? You know, just go out and win the games. I mean, it sounds very simple, and it is very simple, but all these people putting them down, I mean, it's happened since the Titans have been here. You know, it's for the whole time. The Titans have been here since 99. They've been put down. So go out and win the games. And the Titans got the chance 2 games in 3 weeks against the Colts to prove themselves. You know, they played October 2nd and then the 23rd after the bye week.
I hate that.
It's awful.
I hate that.
Like, awful.
Why have it so early?
Awful. The NFL years ago switched the back end of the schedule where the last game of the season you have to play a team within your division because it counts. That should make the last 2 weeks that way.
Yeah.
So you play the other team and then the other team, at least two teams in your division to finish out the season. But I just think from the outside perspective, Rabel's loving this. This is going to be great. And you know they have the game tomorrow night. Don't take anything away from that game tomorrow night because it means nothing. But at the same time, let them keep on talking about not talking about the team. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I like I said, I think Vrabel just uses it as motivation. What's funny is I've talked to, you know, Derek played against him. So Derek obviously remembers, you know, Vrabel as a player, both in college and the NFL and just the tenacity there. Austin Hooper was on our show Monday when we were out at Titans training camp, and I said, we the media, you know, we make a big deal about everything. We started laughing and said, yep, that's exactly what you do. And I said, but do we make too big of a deal about Vrabel not only being a former player, but being a good former player and being someone that, you know, won 3 Super Bowls. He caught touchdowns as a defensive player. He played with Brady, played under Belichick. And what he has brought to this team and that player's mentality. And he said, no, absolutely, because it's why I was – you know, why I wanted to come here, because I wanted to play for a guy like that that I know has put the pads on at a high level just like I have and has that same desire to win. And he goes, I see it when he's out on the field, even as a coach, like he still has that same, you know, just fire that he did as a player. And there's something to be said for that, because, I mean, how many coaches around the league can really say that they played at such a high level like Vrabel did.
All right, so you go back and look at these coaches. Take, for example, Mike Singletary, awful head coach. And he admitted that he was an awful head coach because he said the level he played, it was frustrating because he couldn't get guys to play to his level. Couldn't get guys to study to his level, the film work, to practice to his level. Forrest Gregg did the same thing. A Hall of Famer with the Packers, did the Bengals. He got him to a Super Bowl where the 49ers beat him back in 81. But the same thing, you know, Munchak is a Hall of Famer. I mean, you look at these Hall of Fame coaches, and it's really tough to be successful after being players because these guys come in and don't have the same work ethic that they have. Vrabel is different because he understands more than those guys, the old school guys, do of what's going on in this world. He understands the social media world. He understands the commitment world. And I think players gravitate towards that and love playing for him. Coach of the year, man.
Yep, and he was coach of the year for a reason. But, you know, back to kind of the original premise of everybody picking the Colts. When you look at the Colts, I think they have some questions in their lineup. I besides Pittman, I don't really know who they have at receiver. Jack Doyle retired at tight end, so they got to figure that out. They need more weapons through the air because we know Matt Ryan likes to throw the ball. That's how he's made a career in Atlanta with that offense. They do have who could be considered 1A or 1B running back in the league in Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I think it's Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, or Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But they obviously have that. They have questions at left tackle. They got to figure out the left tackle position. So it's not like they are without their questions, too, for that team. It's just, are the Titans going to be able to fuel off of that doubt that everybody else has about them and be able to take care of business against Indianapolis and win this division for a third straight year. I think Indy's going to be a good team, but I'm not ready to anoint them like everybody else.
Well, I think having a good team in a division makes your team a little bit better, work harder. I mean, the Titans, you know, we know the Jags are terrible. We know Houston's awful. They're not going to do anything. They maybe win two or three games. So your competition is a coach. I mean, you got to go out and win those games. I mean, last year losing to Houston was unacceptable. We get all that. But at the same time, having a team to look in the division at, like, all right, we're going to be better than them, I think it makes you work harder and play better and get more focused on there. But it's just, it's going to come down to those two games. That's the fourth and sixth game of the season for the Titans, and right there, your season is determined. If you can knock the Colts off twice, you're good. I mean, you got a two-game cushion on them in the division. You know, all you can do is win the division, right, and you get into the playoffs, and that's what you got to figure out. So there's still a lot of time for this to kind of come together, but I think let them keep talking about how great the Colts are. Titans will be just fine.
Are you nervous at all about Derrick Henry and the foot and just really in general with the wear and tear that he's had?
I'm nervous being on here with you, but I'm not nervous. No, I'm not. I mean, watching the videos of him at camp out there, there's nothing. And if they play him in any games in the preseason, that whole staff should be fired. They should all be fired.
He's not going to. They've already said he's not going to.
Gone. Exactly. Yeah. So just get him work. He'll be fine and be ready to go for the Giants on September the 11th. And I don't think it's a concern. And if it is, they've got a great poker face. Really
I know,
good.
I know one thing, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Giants. But if they don't win that game, if they're looking ahead to Monday night against Buffalo, like that, oh, man.
Remember last year, though.
I know. They kind of underestimated Arizona.
They were awful in that game. I mean, Taylor DeJuan was awful in that game. At least he owned up to it. You know,
he was afterwards. A turnstile.
He was, man. It was awful. But then they rebounded, and you know they won games they weren't supposed to win, and they lost a few that they should have won. But that's kind of the Titans' MO since they've been here since 99. But, you know, like I've talked about that Bills game the second week. That's a game that I think Titans go up and win because everybody's like, ah, Bills, Monday night up there, Bill. There's no way in Hades the Titans should have beat the Rams last year on that Sunday night game.
But they did.
Yeah, they did. And they beat them. I mean, they physically beat them up and down. And everybody's like, oh, Matt Stafford. That pass he threw when he was getting whipped around and just let it go, that's something we do in backyard football. You don't do that. And so Titans just got in their head and just beat them down. I mean, it was amazing. So I think they win that game. And I think having a guy like Vrabel who's been in there like you talked about, it'd be fine.
Coming up next, one Joe doesn't see the change. What does Big Joe think about Ryan Tannehill? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's all presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, in for Willie Donick and Derek Mason. Today, Nick Kieser is behind the glass. You can call or text our phone line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I just ran down the hallway.
Yeah, well, you all right, man?
No, I'm good.
Gosh.
I had to look, hosting a show with you, being the suit, you know, I had a lot to take
well,
care of.
Well, Nashville's media darling has a lot of – makes a lot of people nervous. So I get all that. But, you know, we had our meeting at 8 o'clock this morning, go over the show, and then you were running around then too. So it's crazy.
I know. Well, I'm glad we did that. That was good.
Good times.
So one Joe, as I said, Joe Rexroad from our morning show, Robbie and Rexroad. I've been saying, and I've heard Jared say this, that we see a different Tannehill, that Tannehill looks more confident, that he's gotten past the Bengals game, that there's just something different about how he's conducting himself in practice. This was Joe Rexroad earlier this morning giving his thoughts on this.
Okay.
No qualms there.
Selling. I'm selling that Tannehill's a different guy. He's not a different guy. He's playing well, and that's fine. You want to play well. You want to practice well. He's thrown a couple picks. He hasn't been perfect. Last camp, he threw like five picks. He day in, day out, threw the ball well. He leads the football team. He's good. He's going to be good in the regular season, and we'll see. But how good he'll be in the regular season, I think still depends a lot on what's happening in front of him.
Okay, and that's fair.
Right.
I mean, having the protection, you know, you got to find a right tackle. You're finding a left guard, replacing Roger Saffold. So there's obviously some holes there, and a lot of it's going to depend on what the receivers and, you know, the tight end additions do too.
Right.
How do you view Ryan Tannehill right now? Do you think that he's different, or are you still just kind of in the wait and see mode, and you're going to be like Rex Rode and sell it?
I was kind of on Joe's team there. Is he still in the building? Because I'd like to come and smack him in the face.
No, probably not.
I was on his team until he said, "Hey, it depends on what's happening in front of him." Well, of course it does, but that doesn't determine. I mean, you kind of figure out where you are. I mean, you get the pressure. You know what's going on. What happened in front of you? A good quarterback kind of adapts to that. You know, the playoff game, I get it. You know, it was bad. It was really bad, and you lost and everything. But, you know, we're going to hold this over for this year? I mean, I know he's going to make a nice deep run in the playoffs, but I think he's there. I mean, I've been at those practices for years and years and years and seen those quarterbacks out there. And he, to me, Tannehill, when he took over in 19, you just tell there was a fire there, right? And that fire, to me, has always been there. And I know a lot of people are down on him, but I tell you, once he gets his team back and rolling, they win the division, get to the playoffs, but they understand, that's expectations. They've got to make a deep run in the playoffs, and I think Tannehill's the guy to lead him. Look, with Mariota in 19, let's go back again, right? That Denver game when they benched Mariota, that's the worst performance for a professional quarterback I've ever seen. And I don't know what the Falcons were thinking by, you know, he's a great guy, that's fantastic, but he's not a good quarterback. When Tannehill took over, I mean, that team just had a different vibe about it, and they've had a different vibe the whole time. But I just think, I don't know if he's changed. I don't get the change part about that. I also think he's a good quarterback. And for people to slam him and put him down, I just don't understand it. Look at me. A.J. Brown is now gone. Yeah. What if he finds a great connection with these receivers, man, and the tight ends? I see they got two tight ends listed on the depth chart that are starting. I mean, there's a lot of options there for him. If Derrick Henry comes back, I think Tannehill is the perfect guy to lead this team.
Yeah. I think, And I've always said with Ryan Tannehill that I think he's good enough to take your team to a Super Bowl and potentially win a Super Bowl if he has the right pieces around him. He's not Brady. He's not Manning. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not those guys that are just going to – you're going to plug them into your team and automatically get better like the Bucs did when they brought in Tom Brady. But if you have the right pieces around him, as Vrabel said, if they play great around him, then you're going to be fine. And I think last year – even though, and this is what's crazy, because people will be like, well, they won the AFC. They were the number one seed. They had 91 players that, you know, they used throughout the season. I get all that.
Right.
And that's what I think played into Tannehill not having as good of a season. And then, you know, you look at the playoff game, I think he was so rattled by kind of how the season had went that, and he's also not been able to put the team on his shoulders in the playoffs, and that's something that's going to have to change.
I think when they started Derrick Henry in that game, screw the game plan up. I think because he came back, I know he scored a touch. I get all that, but the fact is I think they had a different approach once Derrick Henry was going to come back to what they were doing before. We can make excuses all day. He was terrible. They lost the game. A lot of quarterbacks lose playoff games and go. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been the one Super Bowl. We talk about how much of a god he is in football. He's been the one Super Bowl. That's it. That's all he's been to. I know Tannehill hasn't been to one, but look at the talent that Green Bay has been around with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's amazing. Tannehill was stuck in Miami with not very good players, and now you look at him with the Titans, he's getting a little bit better now. A.J. Brown leaves, that's fine. They're bringing Treylon Burks. Maybe finds the camaraderie with him and Robert Woods and get something going, the tight ends. It's all. I mean, here's the best part, Chase. It's a blank canvas, man.
Yep.
You write your own story, but you got to win games, and that's the bottom line.
Yesterday on our show, I asked ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck if he thought that there was a change with Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a big deal. I think in fairness to, you know, Ryan and, you know, I guess what people, you know, perceive his confidence to be, like, I don't think that they're, you know, prior to that Cincinnati playoff game, I can't say that if you asked anybody and said, hey, does Ryan Tannehill struggle with confidence, I don't think anybody would say yes, you know, and I think that playoff game goes poorly, leaves town, and a lot of talk about his performance, and then he kind of acknowledges the fact that it was hard to get over that, I think has kind of painted a picture of, you know, his disappointment. And I think in some ways, you know, we've kind of taken that into, hey, here's a guy that lost his confidence, and hey, will he ever regain it?
And that, I think, is what, even though it's training camp and it's practices, you know, I want to see what this – he's not going to play Thursday, and he shouldn't play Thursday.
No, not at all.
I want to see what it's going to look like against Arizona or Tampa and Arizona in those joint practices, because I think that's where you're really going to learn, because you're going up against a different defense, you're seeing different looks. And that's where you're going to learn something about where Ryan Tannehill really is.
Oh, but absolutely.
Right now, he's protecting the football for the most part. He's, you know, what? Here's what I love. Some of these young receivers that I think are very talented, but, like, if they do something wrong, he's getting on them. Like, he's staying out. He is holding,
he should.
He's holding the team accountable. And you brought up Mariota. That was something that I think frustrated Vrabel more than anything, is that Mariota was just such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that.
Well, all right, so I go back. You talk about the joint practice. I so wish the joint practices were open to the public. I don't think they are they?
I think some might be.
Okay, yeah. Well, I hope they are. Don't go to the preseason game because you're not going to see anything. Go to the joint practices. 2019 went out there when the Patriots came to town. We watched Brady on 7-on-7 drills destroy the Titans in 7-on-7 drills. And I know they lost a playoff game and Logan Ryan intercepted and then they get blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But to watch the individual drills 7-on-7. So we're out there and I'm watching this going on and I'm watching Vrabel the whole time. So Brady just marches him down the field, boom, 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 boom. Then Mariota gets in there. And this was the joke I put out that day, Chase. Mariota's first pass, he airmailed a pass so high that I swear to God he hit Tracy Cornett over at Channel 4 going to work. I mean, it was that high, that awful. And I remember Vrabel looking down, had his kind of his hand in his head in his head in his hand, kind of like, oh, man, he get it together. And I thought right there, I was like, any chance, Mario is not the answer. Was not the answer. Then he was awful in those drills. So when Tannehill came in after the Denver game and just sparked his football team on this great run to AFC Championship game, he had his quarterback. And I think he still has his quarterback, and he knows he has his quarterback. I think he's going to back his quarterback the entire time. Was he disappointed he lost the playoff game? Absolutely he was. Anybody would not. And I just think now the quarterback for Vrabel is not a concern because of Tannehill and how good he can be.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Vrabel is very good at he's not going to tell you anything. Like, you know, but his body language and, you know, I can remember last year he'd be asked about Julio Jones and it would be very quick. And you could tell, okay, he's out on Julio.
And, right, exactly, right?
He was Adoree Jackson the year before was the same way. What two guys are not on the team anymore? Adoree Jackson and Julio Jones.
Right.
I mean, you know, so he's been – and with A.J. Brown, he was very high on A.J. Brown, and you could tell that the disappointment that didn't work out. And that, you know, A.J. Brown ended up being traded. But I think he has a lot of faith in Tannehill. You know, Jared asked the question the other day if that was, you know, Tannehill being a little more vocal, taking a little more ownership, if that was something that Vrabel had talked to him about or if Tannehill had done it on his own. I think there was a conversation about, hey, this is, you know, kind of what we need from you. And as the head coach, he has every right to do that, and he should be doing stuff like that. I mean, he's lived it in his career that – you have to have those tough conversations. I don't know if you saw the Brady documentary, Man in the Arena, that was on ESPN Plus. The episode with Vrabel really opened my eyes because you kind of thought you knew kind of where some of this came from, but you got more of a background on kind of why Mike is the way Mike is, and I think it's certainly been a good thing for the Titans. Coming up next, do we think we talked about what's in front of Ryan Tannehill. Do we think we're going to learn anything more about the offensive line battle on Thursday against the Ravens? We'll discuss the Ravens.
yeah, Chase.
We'll discuss that next. Chase William D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game. Chase William D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game. Your chance to win tickets to see Michael Bublé as the fall sports season is approaching, and before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity. Pay attention, JoJo. A pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. Plus, you can qualify to win a Davidoff cigar, blend bar cocktail, and a gift card. Tune in today during the 12 o'clock hour for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. So, a great prize.
What if I won tickets and took Vrabel?
I would love that.
Could you? Hey, you don't know me that well, but you want to go see Michael Bublé with me?
Could you? Would you show up to the press conference Monday and just say, "Hey, I got these tickets to Bublé. You want to go?"
Dressed as Bublé.
Yeah, that would be. Oh,
and having that little voice and that scratchy little.
He'd probably
beard
go.
There.
Probably not.
He'd be like, "Who are you? And what do you want?" I'm like, "I'm asking if you just want at Buddy's, you know, GNO Girls Night Out. We go see, Bublé at you know, I saw Bublé years ago, and he came out and he
he's
did
great
half the show in a Preds jersey.
Yeah, no, I've heard he's fantastic. Well, I've seen him do not a full show, but I've seen him, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's Vrabel and I, buddy, you know, buddy's night. You know,
I would
go.
Love that.
No, well, you can go too.
Well, thanks.
We'll do a little rippies before, and then head over to the arena and have a good time.
Get ripped at rippies. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin in today for Willie Donick and Derek Mason. He'll be in the rest of the week as well. Caroline will be in here tomorrow. It's a kind of a revolving door right now.
It is. All right. Hey, it's summertime, right?
We have fun. Got to get the vacay
now,
out of the way.
Again, where's Willie?
Ireland.
Ireland. Okay. Leprechaun search.
Derek's in Spain. That's where it was.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Derek's in Spain.
Yes.
The international show.
España.
Yeah. I've been to Rayon City. Does that count? I mean, that should be all the same, man.
I've been to Union City. So
See? Isn't that where John Robinson?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I
mean. The swap shop over there. Yeah. So good for those guys getting out of here. Do you have a passport?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah. I went to Canada with the Preds a few years ago.
Oh, nice.
Lovely Winnipeg.
Was it weird getting money back with the because you give like a 20 and give you back a picture of the Queen or something? I couldn't figure out what
used
was going on.
They used American money.
Did they?
Yeah.
What part of Canada did you go to?
Winnipeg.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Home of Barry Trotz.
Home of Barry Trotz. I went to Canada years ago. I paid for gas and liters, and I knew I was getting screwed somehow. I was like, did you fill it up? I'm not sure. I don't know, liters to gallons and all that other stuff, and I gave him like a 220s, and I got back, I think, Prince Andrew and Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? You know, whatever.
Yeah, I do. I did get a Canadian dollar, so I still have it somewhere. Next time I go.
Like, said, you go up there, you'll do that? Yeah. I mean, I've been to Toronto and Hamilton, but I've never been a lot of other places up there. It's beautiful out here, you know?
Were you one of those people that went to Hamilton and bought your Hamilton Predators season tickets?
I was. Oh. Though Jim Ball Silly. No, long. I actually tried out for the Hamilton Tiger Cats back in 92.
Oh, really?
Long time ago.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was good times. You know. There's nothing more to the story.
I learned that you and Mike Organ played semi-pro football
together. Yeah, for the Tennessee Generals. It's really the first professional football team in Nashville. We got paid. Paid four games for the league went bankrupt. I was also Organ and my buddy Coach Wells at Eastern Kentucky. We're all on the team. And I got to tell you a real quick funny story. So we had our first game. It was at Austin. This is 1993. We had like 8,000 people at Austin Peay. And we go down. We had Keith Davis was running back at Overton, played at Tennessee, great running back. John English, quarterback at Tulane, was on the team. We had a great team. And opening drive, we go down the field. We score back and forth. So it was like 100 degrees. So we get up. We're driving to fourth quarter. We're up 17-14. And we got to punch this touchdown in. We can seal the game up. We go to the two-yard line. And we line down. I'm guard. And Coach Wells is center. He pukes all over the ball. All around him. I mean, everywhere. And the nose guard was like, oh. So he backs up 2 yards to the goal line. And then so we called a check down, just up the middle. And then so he's 2 yards back, and there's vomit everywhere. Quarterback sneak. We just blew the linebacker, was still in the end zone. And we scored and won the game. Oregon was on that team. But there's a great play. Who's the coordinator for the Titans now? I forget all their names.
Todd Downing.
If that's a play, have Ben Jones just throw up on the football where nobody's going to back up. True story. And you just walk right into the end zone, man, and it works.
You said you played guard?
Yes.
Were you left or right?
I was right.
Right guard. Okay, so the Titans are currently looking for a left guard. Aaron Brewer seems to have that right now. They're also looking for a right tackle. So how much do we think we're going to learn about the offensive line and those position battles Thursday night against the Ravens? John Robinson was on Sirius XM and talked about the O-line battle.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to watch some of these guys in the preseason games and watch them continue to improve in practice. But, you know, I think all the players that are playing at those spots, you know, Dylan Radins, Nick Petitfrere, the rookie at the tackle spot, Aaron Brewer at the guard spot, Jamarco Jones at the guard spot, Jordan Roos at the guard. I mean, all those guys have improved throughout the course of camp. You know, certainly with the rookie Nick and with Jamarco, you know, two totally different offenses. So I have seen their fundamentals and their technique improve. I like the way their play style, their finish, their effort throughout the course of the play has improved. It's going to be fun to watch. And Dylan Radins has really done a nice job, you know, over the last couple of practices stringing some plays together.
John Robinson on Sirius XM talking about the offensive line. And, look, they hear that about Dylan Radins is good because and maybe I get too caught up in this, but
right.
The guy was a second-round pick last year. Petit Frere is a third-round pick, so I give a little more leeway to that. But Radins was a second-round pick, did absolutely nothing last year. I know Vrabel had said that he likes the progression that he had during the offseason. He was there doing extra work, which you certainly want to see. And then to hear the general manager, John Robinson, say that he's really liked what he's done over the last few days. I feel like the Titans are going to give him every possible opportunity to win that right tackle job because they know as a second-round pick, he's got to be doing something for them.
Well, it looks bad if your second-round pick is not any good. You know, Radins didn't play much, or did he play any in 2020? I think he set the year out, right?
And that obviously set him back.
Yeah, it did. By the way, John Robinson just said a whole lot of nothing in that interview right there.
He's great at it.
I like John. I think he's fantastic, but that's a whole lot of nothing right there. Look, they know who their starters are. They know. I mean, they know they're not going into camp and they're like, who's going to be? All positions are already set. They're not telling us. They just want these guys to earn that position to go out there and do that. And if Radins can get the job done, I thought he did good in the 49er game, right? Shutting down Bosa. Was that Nick or Joey? It's Nick, right?
49ers? That's Nick, yeah.
Nick, yeah. Not Nick Kizer, not the producer behind the glass.
What's up, Nick?
What's up, man? So the offensive line, I mean, look, you got Ben, you got Nate Davis, right? And then you got Taylor Lewan. It's important. I think Ben Jones is so underrated, has a center in the National Football League. It's almost comical how good and strong that guy is and a team player. But, yeah, if Brewer can come in there and get the job done, he's not big. But, look, it doesn't matter. Just get the job done. And if Radins can solidify that right tackle, then you're good to go.
I'll tell you a funny story. So you talk about J-Rob not saying anything in that. So I think it was his first combine as the general manager.
2016.
Yep. So we go up there. It's Jared, Floyd, me. And we went up there from the radio station. And we walk in, and John is doing his press conference and everything. So we're kind of at the back. And I look over at Floyd, and I just see this grin on his face. Like, he's smiling ear to ear. And then he starts chuckling. You know, Floyd had that chuckle.
Yeah.
That he'd be like, ha, ha, ha. And Jared and I kind of look at him and we're like, what's so funny? And he goes, I'm so proud of John. He's sitting up there talking and saying everything, and he hadn't said a damn thing yet.
That's great.
And so later he walks over because he's going to come on, and, you know, they're kind of shooting the breeze and stuff. And Floyd goes, well, between Bill and I, we've taught you well. And he goes, yep, I thought you'd like that, Floyd. Like, knew exactly what he was talking about. So John is very good at it. And it's went to a memorial for Floyd the other day, I was looking through some old texts. I actually found one that I had sent to him of saying, like, John has gotten so good at saying a lot without saying anything. And he goes, it's a lost art.
Yeah, it's a lost art, yeah. And that was a prime example of that interview you just played right there. He said a whole lot of nothing. I think he named 22 guys. 18 of them aren't on the team anymore. He just kept going down the line, man.
But that's kind of the art of a general manager or a head coach of you're not going to reveal anything.
The Wilson pick was bad. You know, you go back to the Kevin Dodd in 2016, these picks that don't pan out, I know they got to hurt because you put a lot into it, and then it comes back on you. It doesn't usually fall on the player. It's like, oh, the GM took this guy and got him in. Then you look, the only first round pick on this team, look, Conklin in 16 is gone, Corey Davis in 17 is gone, Rashawn Evans in 18 is gone. So you got Simmons now. Isaiah Wilson's gone. Farley was awful last year. I would have had Chris Farley on the team than Caleb Farley. But he's getting better. So there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of these first rounders that did okay and then moved on. You know, I so wish they would have kept Conklin. I just so wish they would have kept him because I think he was really coming to his own as a player.
Dennis Kelly. Like, I thought Dennis Kelly did fine, and they cut him for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, for years, you know, you had Michael Roos and David Stewart, you know, those two bookends. And David Stewart would not talk to you because he just didn't want to talk to you. Not that he couldn't talk. He could care less talking to you. But if Radins can solidify that part of the line over there, I think they'll be fine.
Texter on our text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com. Henry says, I will go see Michael Bublé with Big Joe unless Pogi's already spoken for.
The tickets might have already been. Henry, it's a date. Me, you, and Vrabel, by the way. Let's do this. Real quick, there is a traffic update, Chaser.
Oh, okay.
The I-40 East exit ramp for Briley Parkway exit 204A is closed in Nashville due to an overturned truck hauling lumber. Ooh. Some of the logs spilled over the bridge and a significant amount of fuel was leaked out.
Oh, no.
The ramp is expected to be closed until this afternoon. This is, I'm trying to get the picture of where exactly this is. Briley Parkway exit 204A off of 40 East. And but just be careful if you're headed that way.
Not too far from here, then.
I-40 west of Briley Parkway.
Or 204. No, that's in West Nashville. 204. Yeah, that's right by my house.
Okay. All right. Because they're showing, there's a Walgreens in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. So avoid that area. TDOT just put that out. So it's going to be a nightmare. So if you're headed that way, I-40 east coming from the west part of town, Chaser, thank you. It's closed. The Briley Parkway is closed because of that.
Yeah, I just went through there about an hour and a half ago. So
my goodness.
Well, be careful out there for sure. Coming up next, oh, I can't wait for this.
Yes!
One that we used to do way back in the day when we worked together. Celebrity birthdays.
Yes!
Nick Kieser will participate as well. That is all next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, Big Joe in today. Chase McCabe here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Olivia Newton-John, gone too soon. Sad news the other day.
You know, I didn't know that she was battling breast cancer for 30 years.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, it's such a crushing loss, just in the pop culture world of, you know, and it was a double. You know me, I'm a huge Magnum P.I. fan, and then found out that TC died on Sunday. Just crushed me. Just crushed me. Now, you know, and I wrote a thing on my blog about why the losses of these celebrities hurt so much. And I tell you why real quick. Give me just 1 minute about why Olivia Newton-John hurts or Roger Mosley hurts. Because, you know, we grew up in the 70s and 80s. A lot of us, unfortunately, were from divorced families. You know, we had single moms or dads, and they're working, and so we would do our homework. We'd watch TV at night. MTV started up, so we immediately thrust into the lives of these celebrities that we loved. You know, loved the music and loved them, and they became part of our family. So now when I think of TC, of Magnum, I always like, man, that was growing up, friends, Magnum. I mean, it makes you feel good. So when they pass away, it hurts.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John, I was reading all these ladies were commenting about how she inspired them to get into music or get into the makeup world or whatever it is. She did that for them, and that's a wonderful thing, man. And those losses really, really hurt.
No, they do. And you bring up Magnum P.I. I made sure that Nick knew when we did Celebrity Birthdays that we had to have this. Here we go.
I am going to shed a tear, man. Thank you for this. All right, so here we're going to do a little celebrity birthdays for you. And here's this fun game this morning. And people love this. We did this, started it 10 years ago.
Oh, we did.
Some other people said they got credit for starting it recently. No, no way. All right, so here we go. Celebrity birthdays. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, Nick, you ready for this too? All right, our first birthday today is the actress. You know her from Pulp Fiction, Rosanna Arquette. How old is Rosanna Arquette there, Nick?
Who was she in Pulp Fiction?
She was they stabbed Marcellus's wife in the chest with the adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
Lance, answer the phone, Lance.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say 68.
I will say 64.
63. Chaser on the board early. She was also the inspiration for the song Rosanna by Toto.
Did you know that? I did not.
Yeah, Toto. Next up is, actor Antonio Banderas.
Ooh. Go, Nick.
Ooh, see, I'm so young, I don't know any of these people.
Look, man, I didn't ask for it. I'm like Vrabel. Don't need excuses.
Let's go with 65.
I will say that's I'm not going to go that old yet. 60.
62. Chaser's got two down. Well done, buddy.
You got to get within two.
Angie Harmon. Fun fact, he used to be married to Jason Sehorn, who one day, for some odd reason, I ran into at the Donaldson YMCA.
Go, Nick.
70.
Angie Hart, 58.
50.
Okay.
70.
I was in the same decade.
Right. All right, Nick, you got to get this one. Kylie Jenner.
25.
27.
25, exactly.
Nice. He's on the board.
Attaboy, Nick. Good job, pal. All right, some more we go down here. Singer, flutist, Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. Nick, you ever heard of Jethro Tull?
No. Confidently, no.
It's okay. You'll learn one day how great a band that is. Not a person, but a band.
I'm going to say 65.
I will say 78.
75. Chaser, so close. Singer Nina Cherry had a great song, Buffalo Stance, in the 80s. Come on, Nick. You got this.
Ooh, okay. 63.
Nope. I'm sorry. Sorry.
75.
58 years old.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Get this one now. Michael Bivins of Bell Biv DeVoe. How old is he?
75.
Oh. 56.
54. Chaser got it within two. Good job. BBV. All right, well done. Let's see who else. A lot of people that think they're
love this song.
Popular, and they're really not. I've never heard of some of these people. Let's see here. We might be the end of it because that's about it. There's all these people that think they're famous, like Carrie Hurst of Shovels and Rope. Never heard of her. Nikki Bratcher.
I've never heard of
her. Nope. Chase, no. You win 3-1. Good job on that,
thank
buddy.
You.
Well done.
Please make your former intern aware of that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I will do that.
Take that, intern.
Yeah. Chaser knocks it out of the park.
Good job, Nick.
Yeah.
That was celebrity birthday. So.
Nick, you ever seen an episode of Magnum P.I.?
I was talking to Chase about this before the show. I don't think I've seen it before.
Okay. Not this awful new version, but the one back in the 80s. You should, if you're bored one day, watch. Look, it's a good show.
So I'm going to say this about the new version. I don't think the new version is a bad television show. Just don't call it Magnum P.I.
I like that.
Like, I mean,
I'm with you.
They're doing all these reboots now.
Because like,
they're out of ideas.
Thank you.
So, like, you had a new Hawaii Five-0 that is, like, come and gone.
Yep.
Like, it's gone now. You have MacGyver that has come and gone. They redid MacGyver, which I'm like, some of these classics, like, don't touch them. You know, I think.
Or just rerun the classics.
Yeah. And I think I read they're doing another Quantum Leap. I'm like, what? You know, that was a great show. Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
And the dude that I think he's in prison now. What's his name?
Oh, good. Man. On Quantum Leap?
Yeah.
Like, the other guy passed away.
Oh, okay. Maybe
his handler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Way to put him in prison, though, before he passed away, though.
Well, I thought he did. Sorry. But, I mean, I just. I'm. There's some shows, it's like they're so classic. Like,
I agree.
Don't touch it. Like, they made Miami Vice a movie that was awful.
Well, they're redoing Roadhouse.
Oh, why?
They're redoing Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. I'd like, and I don't know Jake Gyllenhaal. I'd like to fight him now because he's going to be in Roadhouse. And they're going to base it in Key West and all this. I mean, just don't touch these movies. There's a way to make that an original movie. Just don't have anything to do with Roadhouse.
Yeah, I mean, if, like, okay, the new Top Gun. And you and I've had
but it's not the new Top Gun.
It was basically the same movie.
But it's not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's
but I like the story. Yeah. I mean, they like, you know, Tom Cruise was great in it. But it had similarities to the old one, but it also had some new storylines too. I thought it was a good movie.
Great movie. Yeah. Well, the last 15 minutes, a little cheesy. But you know, when they land on the aircraft carrier, he looks up and John Hamm looks down at him like, how dare you? I mean, all that stuff's just cheap.
Yeah, well,
but before, I mean, the lead up, Val Kilmer passing away in the movie, I mean, there was a lot of good things. So people are like, well, it's a remake. It's not a remake. It was nothing to do with the original, but you can only
make it. Supposed to be a sequel.
I mean, sequel. There you go. That it was.
Yeah. So, but I think some of these, like, let's get some new ideas. We got a lot of talented people in this world, and a lot of young talented people, but. You know, if we're going to just go, hey, I got a great idea for a TV show. You take five people that like to hang out together all the time, and they go to a coffee shop, and we'll call it Friends.
Right.
Like, it's been done. Yes. I'm waiting for that. Like, they're going
to
do that.
Of course they'll do that. They've tried to. Other stations try. I mean, other TV networks try to do that, and it was still awful. Look, here's my thing with all these things. You know, I went and saw the original Godfather in the theater in the surround sound back in Fairbanks. Fantastic, right? And I wrote about this too as well. Why not bring some of these classic movies back in that setting that we've never seen? Like, I would love to see Jaws in a IMAX, redub the audio, make it, because to me, Jaws might be the most important film ever made.
Yeah.
Because it got the whole summer blockbuster going. It scared people to death. And you put that in that kind of a theater with Jaws and the music and the creepy theme. I mean, there's a way to get people back in the theater with some of these original things that happen. Would you like to go see Roadhouse in a big old theater, like 4K or whatever? I mean, that'd be so awesome to see that.
Because I love that movie.
Like, E.T.'s coming back. It's either tomorrow night or Friday night or next week, the 40th anniversary of E.T.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't cry during E.T., you got a problem. There's something wrong with you. So bring these movies back, these settings back, where and bring the prices back for a little bit. They get us – look, I'm going to spend $40 on popcorn because I'm fat and I want to eat and all that other stuff. I get all that. But bring us back the prices where they were when the movie came out originally.
Yeah.
You got people in the theater.
That'd be great. Like, could you imagine
I'd take you to that.
You would. Well, and I would go.
Me, you, and Vrabel.
It would be great. Yeah, we got to get Vrabel to come out.
Buble and Jaw and guys E.T. Night. Yeah,
they got it right. It'd be great. Coming up next, we're going to talk some college football. Our man Adam Sparks up in Knoxville, we'll check in with him and see what's going on with Josh Heupel and the Vols. We'll do that coming up next as you listen to Chase Willie and D. Mays. He's Big Joe Dubin in today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.